welcome to TTM Cast, the podcast for the TTM autograph collector, sponsored by sportscardforum.com, the ultimate in sports card trading and discussion. And now, here's our host, Jeff Baker.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Season 2, Episode 16 of TTM Cast, the podcast for the TTM autograph collector. My name is Jeff Baker, and I'm your host for the program. I want to wish everyone a happy Mother's Day. Today is Sunday, May 10th, so happy Mother's Day to my wife and my mom and all the other moms out there. We have a fun show today. We interviewed Brandon Hayes, who is a TTM collector. He is better known as Father and Son TTM on Instagram, and Brandon is fairly new to the hobby, just started back in November, and he's been collecting for his son, and we kind of talked TTM and collecting and how he got into it. So it's really interesting to talk to another collector, someone who has a passion for the hobby, and hopefully you enjoy our interview. If you have any comments, questions, concerns, or simply want to be a guest on a future program, feel free to email me at ttmcast@yahoo.com. Once again, I am at ttmcast@yahoo.com. I am on Twitter at CastTTM. I am on Instagram at TTMCast. And I am all over Facebook on numerous TTM Facebook groups. So all the stuff that I'm talking about today, that I post all my successes on social media. So if you're interested in anything that I've posted, talk about today for posts, just check out my social media either on Instagram or on Facebook. If you're looking to find this podcast, other episodes, you can find it anywhere podcasts are located. I also have a website at www.tkmcast.com. And of course, we have a forum on sportscardforum.com. So that with that out of the way, let's get right to Baker's Dozen, which is kind of a brain dump of what's been going on in the hobby in the last week, and we'll get right into it. Well, on my next show will be next Sunday, May 17th. I have another collector that I am actually interviewing this week, so we will have another version of Collector's Corner for next week's show. I've seen that the National has officially postponed and rescheduled the National show in Atlantic City, so it is no longer in July and August. It is now going to be in December 12th to the 16th in Atlantic City. I guess if everything is going well back in December, that they will move forward with the show. I unfortunately will not be able to attend the show in December. Kind of difficult to get to Atlantic City based on how the weather is going to be and who wants to go to Atlantic City in December anyway. And so I am going to pass on the National this year, and I will go to the one next year. I think next year is in Chicago, but it's either Chicago or Cleveland, and I will attend the show next year. So unfortunately, because of the coronavirus, I will not be attending the National this year. A little saddened about that, but it is what it is. Couple of interesting articles in the media on collecting and autographs that I noticed that I'd like to point out. Ryan Hockenschmidt wrote a great article on ESPN. It's on the ESPN front page, and it's titled 150,000 Worthless Baseball Cards During the Coronavirus. And he talks to a collector who has rediscovered all his cards from when he was a kid that were all junk era cards, and had no idea what he was going to do with them or what to do with them. So it's kind of an interesting article on junk era cards and collectors. So check that out. A couple other interesting articles I noticed on Sports Collectors Digest. Brian Petrulis has a couple of interesting cool articles on autograph collecting, on baseball and hockey. He has a bunch of people that sign along with addresses. So go check that out, Brian Petrulis' article on Sports Collectors Digest. And lastly, my friend Rich Mueller had a great article in Sports Collectors Daily on a New Jersey man. He was actually in his 90s who recently passed away, and he had been collecting since the 30s, and he had also saw autographs from the 30s on Gaudi cards, six or seven Babe Ruth cards autographed, Lou Gehrig, Malott, all sorts of stuff. It's kind of a really cool article. The gentleman's name is Uncle Jimmy. He recently passed away. He didn't have any kids, but his nieces and nephews are selling off his collection in one of the auction houses, and you can see all the stuff that he had. He had all sorts of unopened boxes and cool autographs and cards from all the way back to the 30s and sets into the 60s, and they were all kind of in pristine mint condition. So a neat article. Now on to our Vern Rapp Minute. Vern Rapp Minute is dedicated to Mr. Vern Rapp, who had passed away prior to me sending out a TTM request. So I do this as a service to my fellow TTM collectors to let them know who had passed away recently so that they don't have the same faux pas and embarrassment that I had of sending out a request to Mr. Vern Rapp. So here's our Vern Rapp Minute. It is my daughter's favorite segment of the show. So Ruthie, here is our Vern Rapp Minute. We just lost one person in the NFL and the football world, Ryan Wetnight, who you might remember, who played tight end for the Bears, and he played 1 year for Green Bay from 1993 to 2000. He passed away. He was only 49 years old, so we lost Mr. Ryan Wetnight, former tight end for the Bears. We did not lose anyone in baseball this week. We lost a couple people in the celebrity world, rock and roll pioneer and legend Little Richards. Died. He was 87. And Roy Horn, who was a member of the famed magical group Siegfried and Roy. I saw them in Las Vegas during my honeymoon. Their show was a fantastic show. And Roy Horn was 75 years old. So my condolences go out to their families. Sorry for their loss. And on to returns, as I had been saying, the past couple weeks, I've been sending out probably 8 to 10 a week and getting back one or two a day. So, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I got 6 returns back. 5 returns back this week, sorry. All baseball. Total baseball returns this week. So I got Kevin Moss from the New York Yankees on a 1992 Topps card. He signed it in black. Sharpie, and it is a great card. Took probably about a year and a half, I think, to get that one back. I got 1966 Bob Bolin card. He signed and returned that in less than a week. I got Larry Haney on a 1978 Topps card. He signed it in a blue Sharpie, and very happy to get that one back. I got Mike Stanley on a 1988 Flair card. I had sent him out one a while ago and hadn't got back, and then I finally got back, and then I saw that he was signed again, so I sent it out probably about a year ago, and then I just got this back the other day. Great signature on a blue Sharpie. It's his Ranger card, so these 1998 cards hold the signature really, really nice, so I'm glad I got that back. And lastly, yesterday I got back a 1984 Topps card from Harold Baines. I had sent him 2 cards. I had sent him an 83 and an 84 card. He did sign my 84 card. He did not sign my 83 card. Sent it to his P.O. box in Maryland and got it back in less than 2 weeks. So it's always nice to get a return from a Hall of Famer. Thrilled I did not have a Harold Baines card in my collection and very happy to get that one returned. And for our last segment, we have our interview segment. I had a call with Brandon Hayes, who is a TTM collector. He lives in Ohio. He is collecting for his 2-year-old son, and he recently got into collecting, back into collecting, got his cards back from his mother, and he recently got back and got into the TTM hobby, and he's been collecting since November, but he's been really going gung-ho. He's posting all over the place. His moniker on Instagram is Father and Son TTM, and hopefully you enjoy our interview.
This week's interview is brought to you by SportsCardForum.com, the ultimate in sports card trading and discussion.
Joining us on the TTM Cast hotline from his home in Ohio is Brandon Hayes, also known as Father and Son TTM on Instagram. Brandon is a collector, a TTM collector. We met through our friend TTM Dustin, and Brandon posts all the time. So welcome to the program, Brandon.
Thanks, Jeff. This is pretty cool. I'm excited.
Yeah, you know, I'm looking forward to it. I kind of went back and forth on messaging on Instagram for a while, and we're in the same fantasy baseball league if we ever get to play.
I don't know. I've wishful thinking. Hopefully it'll all work out. I don't know if I want to see my team in action, though. I'm sure I didn't draft very well.
I do. I got all sorts of good young guys, but we're not going to bore people with fantasy baseball. We're here to talk TTM. I think you have a real interesting story about how you collected as a kid and how you got back involved in TTM. Why don't you tell us a little about that?
Yeah, I'm 35, so I collected during the infamous junk wax era. So I was just like anybody else at that time. I thought it was going to pay for college. I thought it was going to bring me great riches later on. And so I struck a deal with my dad at that time that if I got a hit in my baseball game that day, or if I scored 10 points in my basketball game that day, he'd take me and get a pack of cards afterwards. So when I eventually dug my cards back out not too long ago, it was kind of amusing to look through the binders and see, you know, little sets of 16 cards, you know. So it was doing all that. I just thought it was going to be so worth it. So probably between the age of 6 or 7 all the way up till about age 13 when I thought I was too cool for it. You're probably talking between 89 and 96. So that's prime.
The heart of the junk era.
Absolutely. So I had probably a little collection of, I'd say, 2,000 or 3,000 cards, but those were painstakingly built. You know, it was 12 cards at a time, 16 cards at a time. And so what happened here recently, I have a kidney disease, and so I've had 2 kidney transplants in my life. One of them was, my most recent one was back in September, and so surgery went great. It was an incredible blessing, super cool to happen. I won't bore everybody with that entire story, but really the moral of it is I ended up at home for 2 months. My kid went to daycare, my wife went to work, and I was just stuck here by myself recovering. Once I started feeling fairly well, I was talking to my mom, and she said, "Hey, I've been cleaning out this closet, and you still have all these baseball cards." And it's like a lot of people my age, we just took care of them with everything we had and thought they were going to be worth something. And so I was like, "Yeah, go ahead and send them to me. I think that would be great." So she threw them in a big flat rate box and sent them to me, and started looking at them and realizing, all right, these things aren't worth anything anymore. But I really got a kick out of going through that box and looking through them and all the memories and looking up guys on Wikipedia and seeing what they were up to now. I got energized and thought it was super cool. And I just thought, you know what, if these aren't worth anything, I got to find something to do with them. So I either need to sell them or, you know, throw them on a wall or something. I don't know. And so I don't even remember how I came upon it, but I realized I could get these signed. I said, you know what? I've got a 2-year-old son, and I'm forcing sports and music, my 2 passions, on him as much as I can. And I was like, you know what? These might not be cool now, but maybe they will be whenever he gets older. Maybe if he's into all this stuff, I can involve him in it somehow. And so on a whim, I got that box from my mom, and I decided that I was going to start sending them out. And then I kind of discovered the whole community. I discovered how to do it, and decided I was going to build a little collection for my son, even if it wasn't worth anything.
Well, I don't know if you've seen it. There's a great article on ESPN. I just saw it tonight. It's like one man's treasure trove, and he had over 100,000 cards from junk era. And he didn't know what the heck to do with them either. And he was moving, and he moved into a new house. And the first day he was in the new house, I don't want to ruin the whole article for you, but the first day he was in the new house, half the cards got destroyed by a flood. The house.
Oh, no.
So he had half his collection, and it's all about basically worthless cardboard. you know, because they were all junk era cards, and it's really interesting that his feeling on it. So I recommend to our listeners and to you go check it out. It's on ESPN. It's right on our ESPN homepage. It's maybe like four or five stories down.
Awesome. I can't wait to read that. I'm such a defender of that era because I just remember all the great feelings it was. And it's true. I hear from people that are like, there's nothing like opening up a pack. There's nothing like that rush of energy. It may only last for 5 minutes, but I still get it. You know, I still love ripping them open. I'm looking at my little collection that I've bought since I got that one box from my mom, and I've got, I don't know, 10 sets that I got for about $5 each.
Yep.
Sitting in the corner, and that's primarily the TTM fuel, but I still get pumped whenever I can go through and look at those and remember, like, oh my gosh, I remember that guy. He was awesome. And so every time I get a TTM, I spend about 5 minutes. Anytime I get a return, I spend about 5 minutes looking through it and showing my son and seeing what other little tidbits I can find out about that guy.
It's really cool. Now, my son is 24 and has 8 sports, has no interest in sports at all, couldn't name 2 players in every sport imaginable. He knows, like, Tom Brady and Gronk. That's all he knows. So I have, you know, probably 100,000 cards, and I have no idea what I'm going to do with them. So I'm jealous that you're getting your son into it at a young age. My dad was a pharmacist growing up. He had his own drugstore, and that's how we got me and my I have a younger brother, and that's how we got involved in it. He used to bring home a box of cards for us. You know, and this was 72, 73, 74, all the way up till probably the late 80s. He used to bring home a box of cards for us every April.
And that's the story of the 78 set, right? You've got a handful of sets from 78, and that's what you're working on.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. 78. So I was born in 1965. So that would probably make me what? So I was probably 13 or 14, which was kind of the peak of my collecting. Right? I was still really into collecting then, and I must have just bought a lot of cards and got a lot of cards from that era, because I have probably 2 or 3 sets of 78 cards.
That's awesome.
Like you, I was just sitting there like, what the heck am I going to do with all these cards? And I had a friend at work that collects and really is an autograph collector. He got me turned back on to TTMing. This was now two and a half years ago. And I started doing it, just doing Patriots cards. And about a year and a half ago, I started on the 78 set. And Rob, who's Zellman, who is, he's TTM Rob, I think, or forget what his name is, but he's the one that got me tuned into the game day set. He's the one that started collecting the game day set. I said, I never even knew the cards existed. And that's why I started collecting the game days, because I just love the look of them.
That's from my era too, and I dabble in those, I guess. I know you've helped me fill in the gaps a few times, but they're just beautiful cards. They look great signed, but I had no idea that they were out there, and that was right in the middle of my collecting years. So it has been kind of cool to get reeducated on that stuff and realize things that I didn't even know were out there. What's that?
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Knoxville, Tennessee.
Tennessee. So you didn't really have a team when you were growing up, or a local team, right?
Well, I moved around the South quite a bit. So my family's from Texas, but living in Knoxville, and then I lived in South Carolina for a hot minute. Big Braves fan, and then I still have all my ties to Texas. So I root for the Dallas Mavericks, the Dallas Cowboys, and for some reason I latched on to the Braves. Maybe those were my prime baseball years. So I'm all across the board.
Now have you been compiling a lot of cards since you got back into it, or have you really just been sticking with your original collection?
I'm incredibly cheap with this hobby. That's one thing that might make me a little bit unique. I'm so cheap. I'm so low risk. So I don't take a lot of chances when I'm TTMing. You know, I just started in September. I started in November. So since then, I've been just taking the sure shots. But yeah, I will not pay more than $5 for a box or $5 for a set. So you can imagine what I've been able to get for that much. Here fairly recently, there was a guy in Columbus, which is about an hour from me, that was selling 50 sets from the junk wax era for $50. He was just trying to get rid of them, and I bought them. I drove all the way to Columbus, and I got them, and I sold all the duplicates, and I kept 10 sets. And so I made money on that deal, and that's all the TTM fuel I have.
So do you mind breaking up a set for TTM, or you're just kind of – You're really just in it for the TTM and then getting the autograph, or what's your thought on that?
Yeah, I didn't really start off very organized. I just kind of went across the board. But yeah, I've broken up every single one of those sets. So I sort of started out that way because I didn't know any better. I know that there's some cards that are worth a few bucks in there, and I'll probably hang on to those for the fun of it. Again, I'm a Braves fan, so I'm going to hang on to the Braves cards and. Who knows, I may sell some of it for a few bucks, but primarily I'm in it for the TTMing, and I'll pull those guys out and decide what to do with it later. I also want to make sure I'm not overtaking my house with it. I know that if I want to stay married, that's probably pretty important.
Yeah, don't talk to my wife about that.
Yeah, we don't have a room for it yet. I'm sitting here looking. I have a little corner of a guest bedroom for it, so it better fit in that corner or else.
Well, I have an office, and then we have a basement, a finished basement that my basement son lives in. But it's really all my stuff is down there, and he collects comic books and Dragon Ball cards and Yu-Gi-Oh cards and all that stuff. So it's a plethora of junk, as my wife would say. But
so he caught the collecting bug. He just didn't get it on the sports end.
Yeah, he loves the Marvel and that kind of stuff. So which is fine.
That stuff's very cool. That's just it's not my thing, but it's cool. So he got it from you.
Yeah, he did. Oh, it's a sickness. Now, do you go to do you go to yard sales and swap meets and stuff like that, or do you just use eBay, or what? How are you finding cards?
Facebook Marketplace has been big for me. That's how I found the one guy in Columbus where I eventually ended up with a bunch of free sets. I'll tell you one time, so I work in college athletics. I have a really cool job. I'm an assistant athletic director at a college here, Northern Kentucky University. We're newly Division I. So as you can imagine, we got games all weekend, and I work quite a bit. So I remember one day I had a free morning, and there was an estate sale that said they had baseball cards. This is when I was first starting out in November. So I said, I didn't know anything about anything. So I said, all right, I'll go. It was about 10 minutes from my house. And I pulled in, and they had a huge NBA fan. It's probably my favorite thing. And they had a partial set of 1978 Topps cards. And the auctioneers, the people that were running the estate sale, had no idea about anything. They just said $5 a box for everything. So I found that for $5 for the box. And then I found a box of about 600 1970 Topps baseball and 1972 Topps baseball.
So nice.
For those two boxes, $10. So some of the older stuff that's on my account that you see came from that one trip to the estate sale. I haven't gotten that lucky since, but it was right when I first started.
Yeah, I've actually had pretty good luck at flea markets here in the Northeast. Just going to, we have Brimfield. I don't know if you've heard of Brimfield. It's a pretty famous yard field that they have every year, a couple times a year. And I always find kind of cool stuff there. And we have some smaller flea markets in the area that we go to once or twice a year. And I always find junk stuff there, like on a lot of unopened stuff picked up.
Hopefully it clears up and I can do a little bit more of that. Obviously I want to spend time at home where I can, but yeah, I would love to be able to sneak away and go to a flea market. Again, I'm just so cheap. I will not overpay. And thus far I haven't paid for any autographs. I don't know if I'll break myself of that or not.
Speaking with Brandon Hayes, who is a TTM collector, he is on Instagram. You can find him on Instagram at Father and Son TTM. Brandon, is there any other social media sites that you're on?
I've got my personal accounts on it. I'm pretty much on anything. It's the Brandon Hayes. So my last name is Hays. So I don't know how interesting that is, but lots of cute pictures of my kid, if nothing else.
Now, how about are you on any Facebook groups?
I'm on pretty much any of them I can find. So I've got a little tab for all those different TTM groups. So yeah, you can find me on Facebook, Brandon Hayes. I don't post a lot. I'm more of a lurker. I'm meticulously organized with all this TTM stuff, so I stick to Instagram to post all my successes and stuff.
How do you keep track of it? Do you have a spreadsheet that you know what's going out and what's coming in, and how do you keep track of your TTM?
I've got a Google spreadsheet that I use, and so I update that, and then I also update on Sports Card Forum as much as I can. I'm like I said, I'm pretty meticulous with how organized I am with it. A lot of times when somebody, like if you have a Google spreadsheet, a lot of times if somebody asks me for an address, I'll just say, here's all my addresses, and then I just send them the link. Sometimes I get worn out with address requests, and I just send that along, and so that way they've got the mother load.
Now, how about trading? Do you do much trading?
I love trading. Sometimes I don't understand why people might hate on trading and they want to hang on and hoard all their stuff. I'm probably guilty of spending too many cards sometimes. If it's a Junk Wax era player, I've got so many sets, I'll send them 6 cards at a time. And a lot of times I'll use that to trade. I don't sell anything, but I love trading. I've done a couple blind trades on Instagram, which has been a lot of fun. So if you're like overloaded with Junk Wax, I would really suggest doing that. It's a fun way to keep it going.
So if you guys are interested in hooking up with Brandon is on Instagram at Father and Son TTM, and he is on Facebook at Brandon Hayes. Is that it, Brandon? I apologize.
Yep. Right. That's
Brandon,
it.
Brandon loves to trade. So if you guys want to trade, he's got all sorts of he's sending out a lot of TTMs. How many TTMs requests do you send out a week, do you think?
I do mine a big batch every month. So I buy 200 stamps a month, mostly. Right now it's slowed down. So I try to send out 80 to 100 a month. Again, I haven't been in it very long, but I try to stay on that clip. But I try to find an empty Saturday or Sunday to knock them all out.
Are you typing out your letters? Are you handwriting them, or...
I have to confess, I type all my letters. I do personalize them. I pick a paragraph in the middle and talk about their career or, maybe an interesting connection between the two, and then I write a little note at the bottom. So I do type them. I haven't noticed any issues with that.
Do you have any kind of cool returns that you've gotten recently? Because you say you play at Space, so is there a couple guys that you might have gone off the rail a little and got them back?
I probably don't have anything like that, but I've really gotten a kick out of sending out those 1970 and 72 cards because it's a bunch of commons, guys I don't really know. Yep. And so when I get those back, I get the biggest kick out of seeing them seeing them on Wikipedia and getting to learn about their career. A lot of guys back in those eras, they may have played big time college football, or they may have played 3 sports at, there was a guy that played 3 sports at Notre Dame, which was just crazy. There's another guy, Gary Boyd, that played for the Indians. He played a grand total of 8 major league games. And I just thought that was so cool to get him back on his rookie card because it was the only card he had ever been on.
That's neat.
The only other one that I have, it's probably not going out on a limb, but when I was 9 years old, I met Bill Elliott, the NASCAR driver, at a mall.
Okay.
All my mom had on her was like a coffee-stained little sheet of paper for him to sign, and I ran up to him, and he signed it, and I think I was the first person to recognize him because he kind of got inundated after that, but I still have that little coffee-stained piece of paper. So I sent that to him along with a card and said, hey, I told him the story, and he sent it all back, returned and everything. But I just thought that was kind of neat that that was the first autograph I ever got of anything, and I still have it.
Now, do you do photos at all, or are you strictly cards?
Strictly cards, again, because I'm cheap. I try not to spend as much money on this. So I send the cards. I've got so many, and on occasion I'll buy one-offs on eBay or lots on eBay of guys who TTM, and that's what I did for spring training this year. But we all know how that turned out.
Yeah, spring training was a real dog, wasn't it? I think I got one return from spring training so far.
I got a handful. I think I got like 5 or 6, but I don't know if they were planning on sending them back after after spring training ended, and then the coronavirus shut it all down. But I, for a non risk taker, that was pretty painful. To I probably dropped 80. There's probably 80 failures hanging out there right now. So maybe they'll return them when they get back. But I bet they're gone.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you're about maybe a year and a half behind me in terms of the course of where you are in collecting. And it's my first year or so, I was kind of like you. I was probably sending out 80 to 100 a month, and I was getting a lot back. And then lately, if I can get 10 a week, which is, I'm very happy with that. If I've already have somebody, I don't really like to get them again. If I only send usually one or two cards. I don't like to send multiples, so I don't have a lot to trade for doubles because I only have singles, and most of the ones I have, my doubles are for my sets.
Sure, and something for I've been contemplating getting into a set, and I'm so afraid to do it because I feel like I'll get hooked on it. And then those last 50 or so of the set, you've got to drop some serious cash to get them. So the cheap person in me is apprehensive on starting a set, although I really want to try it.
What I love about the set collecting is that there's a lot of guys that I send out requests to that I may or may not have sent a request out to. And like you, like a guy that is in, a guy that's only played in 1 year or played was a cup of coffee guy, and I probably wouldn't erect sent a request out to that guy, but then when I get it for my set, I'm like you. I look up the guy and he hit 3 home runs in 1978 and never played again. And I learned about his career, and I really enjoy that.
It's a blast. So lately, what I've done is that if I have to send out way too many cards, I always offer for them to keep whatever they want. And lately, some of the guys that had a career like that where it was. Pretty short-lived, they'll keep a good deal of them, and at least they get some enjoyment. Every so often I'll get a note that say, hey, my kids really enjoyed this, or they got a kick out of it. I just think that's a cute part of the hobby.
I agree. Now, do you ask questions, or do you get responses back when you ask questions, or no?
No, I don't ask questions, but I do mention my son in the letters because we do. I mean, every time I get the mail in, I show them to him. We talk about the colors. We talk about what sport they're playing. Sometimes we can get a letter on there if the letter is a part of a logo. So I tell them about all that in the letter. So I get some really neat notes on the index cards that I send back addressed to my son, Lincoln. So it's those are really neat, and I'm going to hang on to those. So that's probably my favorite part of it is just the little interaction I might get from an 80-year-old guy who played in the majors in the 60s, writing a little note to my 2-year-old son. I just think that's a cool interaction.
Yeah, no, I mean, your son's only 2 or 3, right? He's not even 3 yet, so.
He's 2.5, yeah. He has no idea what's going on, but at least I can.
In 5 years from now, it's going to, he's going to be the one that's going to be writing the letter or helping you write the letter and picking his favorite players and favorite teams, I'm sure.
Yeah, and I think that's when I'll be a little bit happier to take some long shots, and then maybe that'll get really fun where he'll get – I think those people that take long shots usually get rewarded for it here and there. So I think whenever he's into this, hopefully he'll take a few long shots, and who knows what he'll get back. I know when I was about 10 years old, I wrote to Troy Aikman, and he sent me back a card, and I still have it, and I know that he charges like $200 to $300 to sign now, so that's a cherished thing.
Yeah, I know. You have to take a shot. I mean, I just got an RTS from Alan Trammell, and then I got Jerry Rice back, and he signed a card. So you never know. I try to not send it to a guy that never signs, but if I see a guy that signs, I usually take a shot.
Yeah, you've inspired me to be a little riskier. I think that'll make it a little more fun.
Yeah, it is fun, and again, it's not. I get the same amount of excitement and joy over a guy like Kevin Moss who played for the Yankees as I do to get Jerry Rice or Terry Bradshaw or some Hall of Famer. I really do.
I just get a kick out of the story. I've heard you say it on the podcast several times. I just get a kick out of the story. And so every single one of these guys I look up, If you look at my account now, most of them are those older cards that I'm sending out, and just some of the stories that you catch out of those. I get probably the most kick out of those than I do about getting like a current NBA player, which I have a few times.
Yeah, I don't know if you know Bill from Brave Star. He does a great post just about every day, and he always has an interesting story about the player. And his content's really informative and entertaining.
Yeah, he's got great like dad jokes. His one-liners on his Instagram posts always give me a chuckle.
And he's a good guy. He's in it for the right reasons, if you know what I mean. He's not out there selling. And I have nothing against people that are selling their autographs or whatever they want to do. But I don't think I've ever actually sold anything. I'd rather give it away than sell it, honestly.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, anything that I've anything I ever plan on selling, it'll just go right back into the hobby anyway. I'm full on with the addiction.
Yeah, it's fun. Now, do you have any plans? We're deep into this coronavirus, and hopefully we're going to start getting out of it and loosen some restrictions. Have you changed your the way you're sending out TTMs in the past month or so, or just kind of gone by the wayside and just kept on going?
Well, at first I wasn't going to send any out. So I had a bunch of envelopes prepped and ready to go out. And I wasn't going to send anything because I figured nobody would sign. And then I started seeing some of these old timers that would send it back. And actually some of the little special notes and things you might get back have increased, I think. So I actually put a poll on my Instagram and asked all my followers, hey, should I send out? And I got an overwhelming yes. So I think I sent out 75 or 80 all in one day, and man, it's been a blast the past couple of weeks to get them. It doesn't seem like it's slowed down. I know not to send them to businesses, or if a former player works for a team, I've kept those, but I haven't seen a decrease at all. It's been really nice.
Yeah, I mean, I'm I'm not sending out so many, but I'm getting like one or two back a day, which is fine. I don't need to get 12 back a day. One or two back a day is really fine for me.
Yeah, well, you have to think. I mean, I'm working from home and looking after my son. My wife works in the medical profession, and so she's essential. So I'm super proud of her, and this would be my opportunity to wish her a happy Mother's Day. She's putting my son to bed right now as we're recording this. So best mom in the world. But, like, I guess.
Well, your mom, who didn't throw your cards away. She's a pretty good mom too.
That's true. All my riches, she held on to them for me, and I couldn't make her proud by saying I made a wise investment, unfortunately. But happy Mother's Day, Mom.
Yeah, happy Mother's Day to my wife and my mom as well. My mom never threw my cards away, which I'm very thankful for. And my wife puts up with TTM. She does not like TTMing at all. Does your wife put up with it, or does she support you in your TTM efforts?
She just calls me a nerd. and I assure her I'm not spending a bunch of money on it. But she cracks up when I go run into the mailbox, or I get excited 8 a.m. every morning when the informed delivery email comes over from the USPS, and I can tell her about what I have. But no, there's not a lot of interest there, I got to be honest.
Isn't that the best thing? That informed delivery is really the best thing that the post office ever came up with.
I think it gives me anxiety, but it's like a fun anxiety. I look at the postmark, and I start looking through my list, and who could it be? And sometimes they throw you for a loop, but yeah, it's pretty cool to know that you got a little treat waiting for you at home.
Do you put a return, their return address so you know who it's coming from, or you just kind of like me and you want to be surprised?
Yeah, I like the little surprise. No, I don't put their return address on it. I just put the one label on it, and it's got my stuff on there. So the only thing I have to guess off of is the postmark. But yeah, like I said, it's fun. If I get home at 6 o'clock at the end of the day, I'm like a little kid scrambling for my envelopes.
Now, do you collect the current releases, the Paninis and the Topps releases, or the Heritage, or any of the newer stuff, or are you just strictly some of the older stuff?
I'll look for packs of of current NBA again. I'm a big NBA fan, so I'll grab one of those if I'm at the store or if I'm making a Walmart trip. I always take a stop by. I've heard other people say on YouTube and such that, you know, some places are better stocked than others. I think there's a big time card collector. I live in a pretty small town, and it's always pretty raided by the time I can get there. One time I was visiting my family down in Texas and went to the Walmart, and I couldn't believe what they had. And I spent way too much money on prisms when I was down there just because they had them.
Did you get the Zion rookie?
I have a couple of Zion rookies. One's a Donruss. Another one is a – I can't even place it right now. Absolute memorabilia. I actually got it at Dollar Tree, if you can imagine that.
Nice. Now, do you have a special card, not necessarily the, you know, your most valuable card, but a card that has a special meaning for you, either something that you collected as a kid or someone, you know, somebody that a card that you really wanted and you splurged on? Do you have a special card?
Not a lot of splurging. One kind of cool one is I got Daryl Johnston, the Moose, which I know he's a great TTMer. He signs all the time. But back when I was a kid, everybody when I was in Texas, everybody wanted Emmitt Smith or Troy Aikman jerseys, and I loved the Moose. So I still have my Moose jersey. It is tattered to pieces, but he was my favorite player on the Cowboys. So when I got into this hobby to learn that my two favorite players probably of all time, Daryl Johnston and Dirk Nowitzki, are two of the best TTMers out there. I just thought that was so cool, and now I've got autographs from both of my favorite players.
Oh, good. Did you get them on cards, or did you get them on your shirt, or what would you do?
I got the Moose. I actually just got that one back about a month ago on a few cards. I'll give my dad one of those cards because he likes them too. And then I have Dirk on a jersey, which is amazing.
That's really nice.
I took the risk. It's a fake jersey, but I took the risk and I sent a jersey along and I got in before he stopped signing.
Now, who do you have a white whale or somebody that you really, really like to get? No, you know, and it doesn't have to be, again, it doesn't have to be Troy Aikman. It could be, you know, Toby Harrah. So somebody that you haven't just had a chance to send off or someone you really want.
Oh, man, I know you asked that question quite a bit, and I should have thought of the answer. You know, I would love to get one of the Braves from the 90s, you know, like a Chipper Jones, which I know our buddy Dustin is a huge Chipper Jones guy.
Yep.
Like somebody like that who you just grew up idolizing. I wore my pant legs up just like Chipper Jones. I wore number 10 and just was obsessed with him. That would be really cool just to pick up one of those. So if I splurge on anything, that might be it.
Yeah, Dustin is a good risk taker. He takes a lot of good calculated risks. I know he got Favre before the Favre run was going on. He got Maddox. He takes a shot every once in a while and hits.
I got to start doing it, man. You're, like I said, you're convincing me little by little.
Yeah, again, I don't know about you. I only send out doubles. If I have a single of a card, I usually don't send it out. So
if it's worth anything, I don't send it. So I took a flyer on a few NBA guys, and I don't send, you know, a super valuable rookie out. If I've got doubles, I always send the worst card out. I try not to send anything out I wouldn't miss.
Who are some of the NBA guys that you got?
It's the basic one. So actually Luke Kennard is from the next town over from us.
Okay.
So I got Luke Kennard on a couple of really nice cards. He wrote a little note over that said, "Go Warriors," which is our mascot here in Lebanon, Ohio. And he's from Franklin. So they were rivals. So it's kind of cool of him to write that on an index card and send it back for us. I got Larry Nance Jr. And I got, Kyle Kuzma, who I've heard is a ghost sign, but I'm not sure.
What's your feeling on that? When someone posts a success, do you want to know if it's real or not, or do you care?
I'd like to know if it's real. You said, you know, it's real to me, and that's all that matters. I'd like to know. So my dad, I don't know if he'll listen to this or not, but he's a big old Cowboys fan, so Roger Staubach would be a huge deal for him, and that's like the great debate, right? Is if Roger Staubach ghost signs or not. if I'm going to get something like that for him, I want to know that it's real. I try not to agonize over it, but yeah, like that's a great example. If I'm going to get that done for my dad, and if I'm going to invest in it, I want to know it's real.
Do you send anything off to get authenticated or to get graded, or are you? That doesn't seem like that would be in your warehouse.
I'm too cheap for it, and I don't have anything that's worth it. I think if I lucked out, and you know, a big Luka Doncic fan, if I ever somehow got something in person from him, I'd get something like that authenticated. But nah, too cheap.
Do you go to many shows or to in person, or try to go to any games and get things in person, or? I'm 54, so I've done a little in person stuff, but I feel a little weird.
That's the same. I go to smaller shows around here to get, you know, sift through 10-cent boxes. It's just good therapy, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
So I get lost in that, but no, unless there's a free signing or something, I haven't gone that far. Again, I've only been in this for 6 months or so. You know, I could see, I love minor league baseball. And when we go on vacation, I always drag my family to a couple of minor league games wherever we are. And so hopefully when my son gets old enough, I can take him down and get him some signed stuff. I think that'd be fun when he gets that age.
I'm up in the Northeast and we're close to Manchester, which is the Fisher Cats. That's where Fichette and Guerrero Biggio, all those guys played. So we'd go to the games, and I actually got my son to be a Vladdy Jr. fan because we saw him, I don't know, 10 or 12 times playing in the minor leagues. So he's like, oh, I know that guy.
Oh, there we go. So at least he's got one.
He's got one. But and then I just got I got a Pop Heritage blaster box, and I got a Bichette signed card in it.
Oh, that's incredible.
Yeah, I was very happy about that.
You're very lucky. I know in the packs that I've tried to get, I never get a hit. So I need to probably splurge and get a blaster box or a hobby box one of these days.
Yeah, and the hobby boxes I think are not, you know, you pay $70 or $80 or $90 for them, and you don't get your return. The blaster boxes aren't bad. They're only like $20 at Walmart or Target. My wife has been like on a streak. The last like 3 or 4 times she's gotten blaster boxes for me. She's either gotten me an autograph card or a game used piece of something, or like one of those tattoos that are like 1 in 700. She's had a real streak of luck. She's on to my blaster box.
Yeah, she's got the hot hand. You can't let anybody buy you any.
She really does. I really enjoy the heritage cards. I don't know if you've gotten into those at all.
I love them. They're so pretty signed, too. I sent a bunch of those at spring training, and the few that I did get back, man, they look incredible. And kind of funny, the 1970 cards, that stack that I got at the state sale, those 19 heritage cards obviously have that design, so I'm obsessed with those.
How was the condition of the cards that you got? I mean, it didn't really matter because you didn't spend any money, but were they in pretty good shape?
They're in really good shape. Some soft corners, but none of them are bent up. Again, all the cards that are worth anything are taken out, but I've really, like I said, I love looking through them and just learning about those guys and trying to get them signed. Obviously, those have the double rookie cards, the dual rookie cards, so I've got a handful of those where both guys sign TTM and I can get them done.
Now, how do you display them? Are you displaying them in binders, or do you keep them in top loaders, or do you have them framed, or how do you keep some of your favorite stuff?
I have them in sleeves and top loaders, and I just have a box right now. The dream is to have my own office, and I'd love to have a wall display system for them, but right now I'm just kind of stockpiling, and I've got them in a sad little box. So this is not ideal, but one day I want to have a really cool setup where we can have them on the wall and my son and I can kind of share a space.
Yeah, I was talking with Bill from BraveStar, and he brought this, he mentioned this, and I'm starting to use it now, that the difference between a collector and a hoarder is a hoarder has all his stuff in boxes someplace and a collector displays them. And I'm kind of I'm kind of right in the middle. I have some display, but I'm also a hoarder, so I'm trying to wean myself off of hoarding as much, and I want to consider myself more of a collector, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, and I kind of it is kind of sad I have to keep them in the box, but at the same time, I'm not a pack rat. I'm not very good at it. But with this hobby, it's like I feel apprehensive to get rid of anything. But in any other part of my life, I'm not that way. I want to throw everything away. But with this hobby, it's like I want to keep hold of that 1991 Fleer box that's not worth the cardboard it's printed on. For some reason, I just can't let it go.
I'm such a pack rat. It's funny because I have an office and I have a bunch of stuff in the basement. And, you know, I've been home now for whatever, 2 months. So I'm finding stuff again, and I found a box of ticket stubs. I have probably 200 ticket stubs from when I was a kid. Red Sox stubs, Celtics, Bruins ticket stubs, Patriots ticket stubs, just ticket stubs of everything. Like, how did I keep this? Now I got to find something to do with it.
There's the one TTM account on Instagram that he gets Braves tickets signed.
Yeah, I saw that.
That's so cool. So I did think that was fun. But yeah, when I was a kid, I felt like I needed to keep all those too. But I think that's a cool little twist on getting things signed. I like that account.
Yeah, no, I agree. I have a ton of tickets. So I don't. Again, my wife bought me an album to put them all in. So I think that's what I'm going to do. But they're not. They're not really autographs.
Right.
I don't know. All right. Is there anything that we didn't talk about? You know, it's great to finally meet you and talk one-on-one. You and I have been direct messaging on Instagram for a little while, and it's nice to kind of catch up and talk TTM. Is there anything we didn't really broach today that you'd want to mention?
It's been fun talking. I'm glad I got to do this. This is kind of a little nerdy side of myself that I've really enjoyed and embraced now that I'm a dad and I'm not cool anymore. But one thing, if I can get on my soapbox, is stop asking for addresses. If you can't find it, I'm totally fine giving you an address. But if somebody gets a return that you're super psyched about, just congratulate that person and then go try to find it yourself. And don't say Addy in the comments. Don't say Addy. It's the worst. At least be respectful. I'm still going to probably say no, but be respectful.
Yeah, I go back and forth. You know, Dustin and I are on the same page, and I know he gets frustrated, and I get frustrated sometimes. And I go back and forth where I don't want to give out the address, or I can't. I don't have it, because a lot of times, like, I just got Kevin Moss back, and I probably sent it out a year and a half ago, and I just know I don't have that just sitting at my fingertips, you know what I mean?
Right. But, yeah, and I the only ones that I get back right now are guys that sign all the time, so I know the address is out there, because that's how I got it. So if you're asking me for an address, that means you're not looking.
Right. I agree. But, again, sometimes it's a kid and you don't know. And I try to be understanding. If, I'm posting just about every day, and I probably get, two or three requests for address, and I don't mind it as much as I did at one time. So I that's why I said, when I go back and forth, sometimes I do give out the address. Especially if it's a more recent one, I know I have it handy. And every once in a while, there will be an address that I just can't find. I don't, a lot of times, if it's a guy that has a common name, and it's hard to find his address, but sometimes it's not posted on one of the sites, and, someone was lucky enough to get it. And I don't mind asking every once in a while, but I try not to.
Yeah, I'm not angry about it. Don't get me wrong, but I think if you can find it easily, I'll just tell you where to find it, and then maybe that'll help you learn a little bit.
Yeah, I had Gary Anderson, who played for the Buccaneers, right?
Right.
Gary Anderson's such a common name, and I'm like, how am I going to find Gary Anderson? And I went everywhere trying to find it, and I couldn't find it. And I know Rob had gotten him back, and he was kind enough to give me the address, and I hated to ask. But unless it's something like that for one of my sets, I try not to ask.
I think it's all part of the network, right? If it's a friend of yours, if you guys have worked, me and you, or me and Dustin, we've worked hard to have a relationship, and I don't mind asking someone like that.
Yeah, again, I want to be friend just for the friend for the hobby. I don't want anyone to think I'm using them to get an address, if you know what I mean.
Right.
You know what I mean? but whatever. It's just I really feel uncomfortable asking for an address. Even like for Dustin helped me out with Brett Favre, and he just pointed me in the right direction. He didn't even give me the address, and I felt bad. I felt bad just getting, you know, asking him that much of it.
Yeah, it's one of the great debates of the hobby, right? You know, there's can I ask for an address? Am I sending too many cards? And is it wrong to type up your letters? I break two out of the three of those, so maybe I've got the one mastered, or at least I'm not begging for addresses.
I type all my letters. My handwriting is so miserable. I no one would be able to read it, so I do type all my letters. But I always have a custom question or custom comment, or I try to mention a reason why I'm asking for the autograph. You know, a lot of guys, especially old timers, because I remember a lot of these guys that when they played in the, you know, in the 70s. So I try to mention a time like, oh, I saw you at Fenway do this, or I remember you really killed the Red Sox, or some, you know, I always try to personalize it the best I can.
Sure. Yeah, and for some of these older guys, obviously I wasn't alive in 1970, but I tell them I'm trying to learn about them, and I've already read a little bit about them, and I'm getting a kick out of, you know, teaching my son what old baseball players used to wear. You know, it could be something as silly as that.
Yep. Well, speaking with Brandon Hayes, Brandon is a TTM collector. He has been collecting just for a short while, but he is really has gotten into the hobby in the last 6 months or so. He is on Instagram at Father and Son TTM. He is at Brandon Hayes on Facebook on numerous TTM groups. Brandon is always looking to trade. If you want to reach out to Brandon, do you want to give your email address, or do you want to give any other contact information so people can reach out to you if they have a question or they want to offer you a trade?
Yeah, sure. Email is BHAYS44@yahoo.com. So BHAYS44@yahoo.com.
All right, great. Well, again, thank you for joining us. So hopefully we can get baseball going again, and I can kick your butt playing fantasy baseball. We can make a trade or two in fantasy baseball. If you have any TTM questions, you know, you can always reach out to me on that as well. I thank you for being on the program today.
Thanks, Jeff. That was fun.
All right, it was fun too. And again, happy Mother's Day to everyone. Happy Mother's Day to my mom and to my wife and to Brandon's wife and to Brandon's mom. And everyone, you guys have a great week. All right, thanks, Brandon.
Thanks so much, man. Talk to you later.
All right, bye. We'll run on Sunday, okay?
I will
send you a text when it's up.
That's awesome. And I'll force all my friends to listen to it.
There you go. All right, buddy. You have a good
night.
Thanks,
man. Good night. Bye.
Bye. That was fun.
Well, that wraps up another edition of TTM Cast, the podcast for the TTM Autograph Collector. My name is Jeff Baker, and I've been your host for the program. If you have any comments, feedback, or questions, or simply would like to be a guest on a future episode, please send me an email at ttmcast@yahoo.com. I'd like to thank Mr. Brandon Hayes for joining us today on Mother's Day. I want to wish everyone, all the mothers out there, a happy Mother's Day, especially my mom, Gloria Baker, and my wife, Paula Baker. Happy Mother's Day to both of you. We love you very much. Our next show will be next Sunday, May 17th. And I think that's about it for the program. So as always, I want to thank you, the listener, for joining us. And I want to wish you many happy returns. See you next week.